Well, we've been talking about our journeys, talking about discerning crossroads, using the Bible as a guide. When I was in middle school, there were these science classes that you had to take every year, and they're pretty neat. But in the fall, we would always go out into this big field, and the teacher would give us a compass, and then she would give us a sheet of paper, and it would say, walk this many feet due north, and then walk this many feet west, and then come back this many feet east, and then go south, and then somewhere out in the middle of this big field, there was something on the ground that you couldn't see till you were just right around this vicinity, kind of like this little plate here in the ground. You probably can't see it, but I can see it because I'm right here. And you could never find that thing unless you were holding that compass, and that compass was our guide. Remember we talked about sometimes we get in that cornfield and we don't recognize anything. Our directions get all messed up, and we need something to help us base our decisions off of to get where we're supposed to go. And so this week, what we've done, I've been working on this one for a little bit. I've talked with a few people, and we've come up with three guides for life and how to use them. We know that God has given us guides to help us make decisions every day. What are they, and how do we use them? So the first guide that we came up with is pretty obvious. I think we all know what I'm going to say. The Bible. So we know the Bible is put here for us to use as a guide. So how do we use it? Well, you can use this as a good way to make decisions. You can look at the scriptures. The Bible is just made up of scriptures, actually. And if you want to look for God's way, for where He wants to take you in your life, look in the Bible, because the Bible is God's word. The Bible is God's way. And the Bible tells us how God wants us to live. So we have all of these decisions that we have to make every day, and some decisions we think are just menial decisions. Like this morning, I bet we probably don't even know how many decisions we've already made. What to wear? What to drive? Will I be early? Will I be late? Sunday school, praise and worship, yes or no? Should I sit in the back today? Should I sit up front so I can look at Nathan smile? Every day we have to make decisions. Some of them are small, some of them are big, some of them we just make out of habit. But we've got all these decisions to make, and when we have a guide, we have something to base those decisions off of. And this is what I mean. We can ask ourselves when faced with a decision, is the outcome of this, are the consequences going to bring glory to God? If I choose to do this, you know, there's a lot of decisions that we already know what the outcome is going to be. You know, it's a cause and effect deal. Either we've learned by somebody else, or we've learned the hard way, or it's just common. You're just blessed with common sense like I am. You know what the outcome is going to be. And you can ask my wife. I'm very blessed with common sense, aren't I? Oh, calm down, Rick. But if you know what the outcome is going to be, you can ask yourself, okay, is that outcome based on what I do, is that going to bring glory to God? Now, to be able to know how your decision is going to affect someone is like asking, if I do this, what will so-and-so think or do? And I've learned to do this with Chandra. You know, when I first met her, I didn't know her very well, so I didn't know that half the stuff I did would make her mad. Because I didn't know her character and her personality. But as I got to know her and love her and have that personal relationship with her, I could start asking myself, if I do this, what's Chandra going to do? What's going to be her reaction? So enabled to do that with this Bible, that would mean we would have to know it, right? To be able to do that with Chandra, I had to know her character. So to be able to do that, ask that question, is this outcome going to bring glory to God? You have to know, what's God's character? And God's character is here in the Bible. So how do we know God's character? Well, you can read the Bible. It's in there. We talked about last week in the Old Testament. You can read through the Old Testament. You can see a lot of God's character, but there's one really great example of God's character, and I think it's the easiest place to see how God wants us to live. And if you just look at the Gospels, you can read about the life of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was God's Son, and it says in Matthew, I think, chapter 2, that God was well pleased with Him. So we know Jesus is doing some things right. We know that Jesus is living His life the way God wants Him to live it. And so we can look at that example, and we learn Christ's character then we can answer those decisions. So we know Christ made the right decisions. But the thing about Christ that I think is so neat is that he was still human. So Christ still had temptations. He still went through trials. He went through everything that we go through. But what's so different? What was so different between Jesus and his disciples? How is it that he had this ability to make the right decisions? The difference between Jesus and his followers is that Jesus knew his Father. He knew the Scriptures very well. So when he was tempted by Satan, he had a way to judge his decisions, and he would ask, "What did my Father say?" And then not only that, but because he had that personal relationship with God, he could say, "What would my Father do? I know his character." Christ's character is very clear in the Gospels. Just read through Matthew. And I don't know if any of you remember the old cliche. We had bracelets and everything back, I think it was the late 90s. I was in high school, and everybody had this bracelet that said WWJD. What does that stand for? What would Jesus do? That's right. And I would see all of these people with these bracelets on, and I just hated it. I looked at those bracelets, and I'm like, what a gimmick. Everybody's just buying those bracelets to be cool. Nobody's really asking, what would Jesus do? But I never really thought about that we really should be asking, what would Jesus do? Because what Jesus would do would be what God is pleased with. So we should be doing what Jesus would do in that situation. And to be able to do that, once again, we have to know Jesus Christ's character. And you can find that in the Bible, in the Gospels. Now, it's always, always really good to double check your decisions with something. And you can read through the whole Bible, but Margaret really hit on it. Jesus simplified everything. In Matthew chapter 22, I'll give you some time to get there. Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 39. Everybody's asking Jesus all these questions. Well, Jesus simplifies all the rules. He simplifies all the laws, and he says, it comes down to this. This is verse 37. Jesus replies, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." So that's another great thing we can ask ourselves. Man, what would Jesus do? But if what I'm doing is my heart aligned? Am I loving God through this decision? Am I loving? How am I going to affect my neighbor? How am I going to affect my relationship with God? How am I going to affect other people's relationships with God by making this decision? So Jesus is just great in these two commandments. We can just break it all down to that. So the Bible is great for a lot of everyday decisions. Now I know that there's a lot of decisions. Some are bigger than others, and some are different than others. Some of them we know what the consequence is going to be, so we can judge. And then there's other questions when we're lost and we don't know what decision to make. We don't know where to go. And guide number two that I have is our personal relationship with Jesus. Now, how was it that Christ was able to withstand the same temptations that we have and make such good decisions? Do you think that his relationship with God played a part in that? Do you think that connection that he had something to do with it? I was reading through the Scriptures, and how often do you think the Scriptures record Jesus going off to pray? All the time it's saying Jesus went off to pray. Jesus went to be alone. He's asking the disciples to pray. When he was in Gethsemane, he prayed three times for the same thing. Jesus was always going off to be alone and center himself with God. So not only did Jesus know the Scriptures, like we talked about, but he also had that direct link with God. And he lived his ministry according to his Father's will and character. God was his guide, and he was checking constantly to make sure he was doing the right thing by God's will. And I think that's really neat, because how often do we check with God? How often do we look at the Scriptures and we think, okay, well, that's my answer, but then we don't go back and we don't double check it with God. We don't enter into that relationship and just connect with God. See, we have the same ability that Christ had. Christ could connect directly with God. We can connect directly with Christ. When we pray, we're talking with God. We're talking with Christ. In Jeremiah chapter 29. Verse 11. Chapter 29 is a letter to the exiles. And Jeremiah is writing this letter, and everybody's in exile in Babylon now. King Nebuchadnezzar carried him into exile from Jerusalem. And this is what God is saying to all those exiles. He's saying, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future." So does that make sense that we would check with God, since He's the one who has the plans? He's like the map keeper. When we say, "God, what am I doing? Which way should I go?" It would make sense to go to Him, right? And say, "Hey, God, help me out." We need that constant communication with Him. And also, in that relationship with Christ, I find strength. And I think that's key, because there's so many times I've come up against decisions where I knew that the outcome was going to do this, but I really wanted to do it, even though I knew the outcome wasn't going to be what Jesus would do. And when I'm in that relationship with God, I find strength. And I think Christ did too. When He prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane in Matthew 26 through 39 and 42 and 44, He was praying about His death. See, He knew He was going to be killed. He knew that we were going to kill Him. And He was praying to God, because that was a hard decision to make, right? If He knows what's going to happen, sometimes the best decision is the hard decision. In James chapter 1, I love James. I think it's a great book. It really helps me understand a lot of things. James chapter 1 is talking about trials and temptations. "Consider it pure joy, my brothers," this is verse 2, "whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. And perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." See, sometimes the better choice isn't always the easiest one, but it's better because the end result is better. And when Christ was in His hour of need, who did He go to? He went to God for that strength, because He knew what was going to lay upon His shoulders. And He knew it had to be done, and He knew that He needed strength. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13, going back to 29. This is the letter to the exiles again, verse 13. He's saying, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord." This is what God is saying. There's so many times when I went to God with the wrong heart, and I said, "God, I need an answer. This is what I want to do," and a lot of times my motives weren't right. My heart wasn't right. But God is saying, when your heart is right and when the time is right, you're going to seek me and you're going to find me. The answer will be there. Sometimes that's hard because we want an answer right away. And sometimes God is just saying, hold on, just like He did to these Israelites. He's saying, you know what? Settle down. You're going to stay there for a while. Plant your gardens and eat what they produce. Be prosperous. You're going to be here for a while. Sometimes we have to wait on God. Sometimes we have to wait for His refining, for His job to be done. So when we're going to God and praying, we need to keep that in mind also. When we seek God and pray with the right heart and the right motives, we'll find Him and He will answer. So guide one was the Bible, and guide two was our personal relationship with Jesus Christ. So guide number three is other believers. Now, these are guides I've talked to some people and we figured them out. And I was going to say, if afterwards you're shaking my hand and you know of another guide, let me know. I'm sure I could have overlooked something, and so could have everybody I talked to. So guide number three are other believers. Now, there's a key line that I think everybody should live their life by. And I heard it at a leadership conference, and it says, you know what, it is best to learn from your mistakes. Not only is it best, but I feel that it is critical to learn from your mistakes, because if you don't, what's going to happen? You're going to keep doing them. It is critical to learn from your mistakes, but it is even better to learn from somebody else's. Right? It's good to learn from what you do. You have to learn from what you do, but it's better if somebody else has already screwed up and they can tell you about it, and then you don't have to screw up yourself. That's where I think going to other believers is so handy, because other believers have already been through so many things. Everybody has a different walk in life. Everybody goes through different circumstances, and a lot of them go through the same thing, maybe at different times. So other believers offer wisdom and new perspectives. And just like my wife, I like going to my wife because she knows me so well. She knows my blind spots. And she tells me my blind spots. And it's a good thing, because if I didn't see my blind spots, what would happen? If I'm driving a truck and I can't see my blind spots, I'd run a little car off the road or something. And it's almost happened to me. So I don't want to do that to somebody. So I go to my wife and I say, you know what, this is the decision I want to make. This is what I checked it with. What do you think? And she gives me an answer, and sometimes I listen. And that's the truth too. I'm getting better at it though. See, this is a key guide if you use it correctly. See, the reason I go to my wife is because I trust her and I know her so well. But you can't just go to anybody. The person that you go to has to be aligned with God. Because how many times have you wanted to do something so bad and you know somebody else who has done it or does it, and so you go to them because you know they're going to say, it's not a big deal. And so that just kind of clears your conscience a little bit, and then you go do the thing. But in Jeremiah 29, verses 8 and 9, this is the same letter, God is talking to him, and he's saying, listen, do not let the prophets and diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. They are prophesying lies to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. See, we have to be careful who we listen to. See, back here, they're just starting into exile. And they didn't want to be there. So if someone was going to say, hey, you know what, you're just about to come out of exile, this isn't going to last long, you're probably going to want to listen to them because it's what you want to hear, even if it's not aligned with God. So it's our responsibility as Christians to seek wise counsel from others and make our decisions based by their guidance. And then the best thing of all that I think about these three guides is that you can put them all together. I don't think that we should use just one guide or two guides, but I think if we put all three together, it's such a great thing because we can check it with God's character. We can talk to Christ about it in our personal relationship, and then I can go to somebody who's wise and who I respect and who I know is aligned the same way, and then I'm going to triple check it. Because some decisions are so big they need it. Some of them aren't, but some of them are. If you feel God leading you in a different place in your life, these are three key things that you can use to make the right decision. See, the path that we're on isn't like that science project that we had. See, that science project was just an open mowed field. It was grass. It was nice, it was pretty, and there were just a few people wandering here or there, and there were no distractions. You went this way and you went this way, but the path that we're on through this life is not like that. We're on a path that goes straight through the world, and on the left and on the right, we've got things that are buying for your attention, trying to distract you, trying to say, choose me, this is right, come over here, this is the right way, but it's not the truth. Everything in this world is going to try to convince you that it's what you need. But God gave us these guides, and I know that we're going to use them this week. And we're not going to listen to the world. We're going to make the right decisions. Hopefully. And even if we don't make the right decisions, God can still bring us back. That's what the whole Bible is. God bringing us back. So we do our best. We pray to God. We work on our personal relationships. That's why we come in fellowship with other believers, so we have people to uphold us and to help stand with. And we go through this life living the journeys that God has called us to. Each coordinates along the way to get us where He wants us to go, His way, because it's the best way. Just like Jeremiah 6:16, stand at the crossroads, stop, look and listen. Ask for the old way. Ask for the good way, the ancient way, because it's God's way. So as we go about our week this week, I just pray that we would do that. Because I know what it's like when I take a wrong turn. And we know what it's like. Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, this is Your message that You've laid on our hearts. And I just ask that we would take it this week. and go and use you and use the wonderful guides that you've given us to help navigate through this world that we are not a part of, Lord. We are just in it. And this world keeps trying to suck us into itself so we would become like it, Lord. And I just pray that you would give us the wisdom, give us the counsel, and give us your words through your scriptures as we go this week and as we make every decision, Lord. That it would be to glorify your name and to help other believers. Amen.